Thank you, Lord, that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, that you are in the midst of us. Lord, we need you now more than ever before. But God, as we look back in history, time after time, Lord, you've been there. You're faithful. You're loving. You're eternal. And God, we trust you. We put our full trust in you. God, I pray that as we come around your word this morning, that it would just be a banqueting table, that God, you would feed us, you would fill us, you would encourage us, you would challenge us if need be, and that, Lord, we would leave here, God, renewed in your spirit. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here. We pray for our kids as they're hearing your word. We pray, Lord God, that you would just move in good news, and Lord, let there be a breaking, let there be a victory, let there be resounding, Lord, movement of your spirit. And God, I thank you for the days ahead, for all that you're about to do, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and we're going to go to Mark chapter 16. We're going to be in Mark, and we're going to be in Hebrews, and we're going to be in Romans. But I promise you it won't be too long. Let something else happens here, but I don't plan to. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. I'm going to read quite a bit, but it's the best story in the Bible. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on, the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Verse 9. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table. And he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and they will drink any deadly poison, and it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So when the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Hallelujah. We could close it and go eat rice. But I want to just bring up a few things out of this, and in Hebrews, and then Romans. What is so fascinating is not just that this is the cornerstone of our Christian belief, that we believe that Jesus died on the cross and he rose again. That is the cornerstone of why we are Christians, or how we are Christians, or what is this whole thing about of knowing Christ crucified and risen again. And this story throughout all the Gospels, and really, many have said, all from Genesis all the way to Revelation, is the story of the revelation and knowledge of Jesus rising from the dead, of who he was before time, and his coming at a certain point in humanity's history, fully God and fully man, who was born of a virgin and raised in a carpenter's home, and only until he was 30 years old that he came into his full-time ministry and died at just 3 years later. And this remarkable scene of him ascending into heaven, as we know that what Luke wrote in Acts, all these fantastic things that we can read in the Bible, that we have read maybe if you've been serving God since you were little or a teenager or in adult life, these are fantastic stories. But they're not just stories. And I think I said it last week that when I was preparing for a message before, it was like, you know the stories, but do you know the author of the story? And I want to portray that this morning, in that even though this is the cornerstone of our belief, this is how we are Christians, by knowing that he is the risen Savior, that he is Lord, and he conquered the grave, he conquered death. But there's this thing here that I want to kind of confront in all of us, and that is, do you believe? And it may sound a little contradictory, but in essence, when we live a life that we fully believe that Jesus died and he rose again, ought to completely change our dynamic of life, how we see things, our point of view, what's happening in the world, what's happening in society, what's happening in the government, whatever it is, should all come down to, I believe that Jesus died on the cross and he rose again. We can say that we believe that as Christians, and we ought to say that, we better say that. But I want to unpack this story a little bit more, because as we have read that they went to the tomb, and we know all this, that they went to anoint his body because they couldn't do it because it was the Sabbath before. They had to wait for the Sabbath to end to go and do all that they wanted to do with his body. And they get to the tomb. They find that the big stone is rolled away. They enter the tomb. There's this little boy or young man, this angelic being who is inside the grave, inside the tomb. And he says that Jesus is not here. He is risen. Run and go tell God, his disciples. Go tell Peter. All these things are happening. And then in my Bible, in the ESV, it says that verses 9 through 20 are not actually in the traditional manuscript, but are added on. And all these things you get from the Bible, and a little confusion, and why wasn't that there, and now it's in there, and all this. But this incredible story then unfolds about how Jesus continually shows himself. He reveals himself to different disciples at different times. He reveals himself to people in the country. He reveals himself to people in the town. He's, I think, over 40 different times, or even 400 times, that Jesus reveals himself after his resurrection. It's just an incredible thing that we find here all throughout Scripture. But there's something that he still tackles, even though all this fantastic thing is going on, that he died and he rose again, that he's appearing in all of this. And yet, verse 14 says, after he appeared to the 11 themselves, as they were reclining at the table, he rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart. Isn't it amazing sometimes that you can really be in the forefront of seeing God move in your life over and over and over again? That if we had a testimony Sunday one day, and we just spoke about the goodness of God, or we can reveal to one another what he has done in our lives, or what God is doing currently, or what he's done in our families, or different things, We can attest that God is moving in our lives and all of this, and yet the Lord can still say, we got to deal with some things. And I was thinking through this message a lot this week. I felt that this would be my text. I've been reading it a lot and thinking it a lot about it. And just to talk to you heart to heart here in this, you know, what some have would say that it's the Super Bowl Sunday of a lot of churches, and people are just mass crowds, and mega churches are having these, you know, animals in their churches and all this stuff that's going on, flying angels and all this stuff. Yeah, not just for Christmas, but for Easter as well. And just, I saw one mega church where a pastor had a man dressed up as a lion riding a motorcycle up on the stage. It's just unbelievable what goes on. And yet, you know, we can lose sight of what it's all about. It's about Jesus Christ dying and rising from the dead. And all these things that are happening in our current world with church and, you know, big churches, little churches, where's our faith, all the things that are going on in life. And then we find this story that is just the cornerstone of our faith, and we believe it, and yet Jesus went to his disciples and said, I still have a problem. I still need to deal with something with you. I still need to confront something with you. And it's your unbelief and your hardness of heart. This is after they saw all the miracles and feeding of the 5,000 and the 7,000 and him walking on water and all the things that they attested to and were eyewitnesses to. Yet, he says, I got to rebuke you. You know, we want a very celebratory message for Easter, and I hope this will be, but I also want to say that there might be some things that God needs to come and confront some things in our lives. And he was confronting two things with these people. They didn't believe, and they became very hard in their heart. And we know that because when the two Marys went to the tomb, they saw that it was empty. They ran and told the disciples and Peter, as we must note, that Peter had his issues. Yet Jesus told them, make sure you go and specifically tell Peter as well. And all these things are happening where they run and they tell their eyewitness account. And Jesus shows up multiple times to multiple people. Yet there was still this thing of unbelief and hardness of heart. I would really love for all of us to just take a moment and say, God, forgive me of my unbelief and my hardness of heart. Because we can very easily say, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but do we really believe that? And if we really believe that, then we should have this outlook on life, and I'm speaking to myself more than anybody, that says that no matter what bad news I get, no matter what's going on in my life, no matter how dark the stock market gets, or this happens, or that happens, or I win, or I lose, or whatever, he rose from the dead. And our faith should be so plugged in to knowing that we serve a risen Savior that consecrates our life in saying that no matter what goes on in this world, this is not my home. There's somewhere that God has called me to, that I will be with him for eternity, that all the problems that I'm facing in this world right now, they just don't matter. But do they matter? Of course they matter. But when I live according to this whole idea that even though I might say I've seen God work in my life, I know that he can do that for others. I've seen him move mountains. I've seen him work miracles. I know that he has healed, he has touched, he's restored, all these things. Yet, there might be something in all of us where we're just not really fully 100% believing in him. I want to challenge all of us this morning on Easter Sunday to believe in Jesus. Believe that he is the risen Savior. Believe on his word. Believe that whatever he said, he will do. He is not a man that he would lie. That everything that he said that he will accomplish, he will do it. His word will not return to him void. All that it is set out to accomplish will not come back to him in vain. He will do it. But do we believe? When we were kids, we would sing this song, "In whose report do you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord." I believe no matter what God has said, no matter what is in his word, I may not quite understand it, but I believe. There's something deep within me that says, I believe no matter what. And then he's dealing with their hardness of heart. And how many times do we feel like there are things that, man, you know, it's just hard. It's not easy. But I want you to hear the words of our risen Savior when he rebukes those who he came specifically to reveal himself to and say, we've got to deal with your unbelief and we've got to deal with your hardness of heart. Because even though they had to have been eyewitnesses to some of the things that Jesus did, I mean, feeding thousands of people or healing certain people or this or that that he did in his earthly ministry were absolutely astonishing. And yet, when it came to his resurrection and this eyewitness account of going to the tomb and it was empty, yet they were ones who were not quite sure they believed these women and became hardened in their heart. Jesus showed up just to rebuke them and to say, you need to deal with your unbelief and your hardness of heart. With that, to go with me to Hebrews chapter 3, because the writer of Hebrews is talking about how we need to enter in to the rest of God. And he says, starting in verse 12 here, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of what? Unbelief. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. Again he appointed a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. How interesting it is that it is a continuation of what Jesus is saying to those who he appeared to, specifically to tell them, watch your unbelief and watch your hardened heart. And then again we find in Hebrews how, and really when you look at this, it goes back to the Passover of what is celebrated in the Jewish calendar of them being released from Egypt and putting the blood over their doorposts and lintels. And when the death angel came, he passed over them, and only the firstborn of the Egyptians were killed, and none of the Jewish families were touched by the death angel. This is all just to stir up the historical facts that because of their believing in God, because of their obedience, because of what God told them, they believed and they did as they were instructed. They evaded and they got out of Egypt. But he's also saying that there was something that had to be dealt with, and that was their unbelief and their disobedience in other parts of the Israel history. That God is saying, watch your unbelief and your heart hardening, because if you don't, you will not enter into the rest that I have for you. And if you hear what I'm trying to communicate this morning, it would be that if we want the resurrection living in us, the fact that we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ living in us, then we've got to say each day, God, would you help my unbelief? Would you help me to watch my heart that it doesn't become hardened? That I would always be soft and pliable with you. That I would hear the voice of God and instantaneously, as best as I can, be obedient to what you're saying. That I believe in the risen Savior, not because of just what the text tells me to, but deep within my heart, God, I believe. I believe in the risen Savior. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe. And because I believe in that, it changes my whole paradigm of life. It changes how I think. It changes how I interact with people. It changes how I'm responding to the world around me. I believe that Jesus died and he rose again. And because of that, I enter into the rest of God. I enter into the knowledge that God is working in my life. He's working in situations. I may not see it. I may not understand how he's doing it. But I believe, because he rose from the dead, that he is able to conquer other things. He is the one who conquered sin and death. And because of that, and because of my belief in him, I will conquer as well. Amen. I love how the end of that passage that I read in Hebrews chapter 4 says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So I put a note in my Bible that says, what will you do with God's word? What will you do when God speaks to you? What will you do when he asks you to love someone that is unloving? What will he do when he asks you to forgive someone? What will you do when he asks you to do something that seems hard and difficult? But when you know that you are serving the risen Savior, that he conquered sin and death, that he lives, and the profound fact that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I can handle the situation that I'm dealing with. I can handle the trial and the challenge that is before me, because he lives. And I believe in that. And my heart is not hardened. God has something for me that is greater, that as the writer of Ephesians, Paul wrote, that no eye has seen or ear has heard what God has in store for us, to those who believe. Why? Because we believe in the resurrected Savior. It gets complicated sometimes, doesn't it? Because we want all the facts, or we want all the things in front of us, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's a friend of mine who pastors in the South, and he says, faith comes by hearing, and 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 hearing. He just keeps on repeating hearing. But so many times it goes in one ear and out the other. We need to hear the Word of God, and not only hear the Word of God, but do the Word of God, and believe that He is the risen Savior. Because if we don't, there's a hardening, a callousness that can come over our hearts. I think I mentioned it last week, how pure it is that when you watch kids and they're innocent and pure and naive, it's a gift that oftentimes we as adults wish we could take it back. Wish we had. To some degree, we've been so exposed because the world just slams everything in your face every day. But if we would just come back to our childlike faith, Jesus, in fact, said that you will not enter into the kingdom of God unless you have that childlike faith that says, whatever He says, I believe it. You know, Belsa and I are at a different parenting stage than most of you guys are. And, you know, I look back to when our kids were little and think about the things that they wanted and did and said. And we were recounting when Jonathan was 3 or 4 years old that he was in church and he had an Easter recital to do, and all the cute little things that kids do, and all the things that may, you know, frustrate you and, you know, stress you out, but the innocence that they have, the purity they have of just, you could tell them almost anything. I mean, now times have changed, but you could tell them almost anything and they believe. And I just want to get back to that place in my life where if God says, I want to do something for you, I believe Him. Or if I read the text and I read that they ran to the tomb, and I've been there a few times to a few places that they've said that it would be, and the wonder of just going and knowing that they went for a purpose, but that purpose turned upside down, and there were angels there saying, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. And the excitement and the exuberance that they had, and yet there were people who heard this and didn't believe and were hardened. You see, God has a way of dealing with all types of things in our lives. And there might be some of us who are just full in, and hopefully all of us are. But there are moments where, you know, you pray for your prodigal child, or you pray for a situation, and you just don't think that it will ever change. And yet, it is not by might or by power, but by His Spirit that God is able to change that situation and turn it around. But do we believe? Or have we given in to what these others did by having unbelief and a hardening of heart? God, I pray that this Resurrection Sunday that we would be given a new heart. A heart that is innocent and naive and believes that whatever God said He was going to do, He's going to do it. I don't know when, where, or how. It doesn't make sense. But I know that when He did it, then He will do it now. God is faithful, and He is not a man that He should lie, that His word is yes and amen, and I believe Him. And if we do, we will enter into this rest that God has consecrated to us, given to us. We live in such a stressful city. I mean, the FDR was nuts today. People are just jumping all over and cutting in, and it's just crazy how life is so stressful.
the hustle and bustle. But if I shift my viewpoint into, but I serve the risen Savior. That, yeah, life is still stressful. There's still time crunches. There's still disappointments. There's still things that don't happen the way we wanted it to. But internally, the core of me believes and knows that I serve a risen Savior who overcame death and the grave. And because He lives, I am more than a conqueror. I am in Him and He is in me. I live for Him and He lives and He died and He lives for me. And praise God that no matter what comes my way, I serve a risen Savior. Finally, in Romans chapter 4, verse 24 and 25, Paul says, "It will be counted to us who believe in Him." He's first talking about Abraham, that it was counted to him as being righteous because Abraham believed. And then Paul writes out, "But it will also be counted to us who believe in Him, who raised Him from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." How incredible that we would be counted just like Abraham. I think that's pretty cool. That Abraham was counted as righteous because he believed, so too you and I. That if we would just simply believe, not just in the resurrection, not just in the things that we can say, by faith I believe in that, but also in the mundane, day-to-day promises of God, if that makes any sense. Just the things that we know that God has said about our kids, that I don't know when, where, or how, but I know that God said it, and He's got them. I don't know how this situation can turn around, but I believe in Him. My heart is not hardened. I trust in God. It is not calloused because of past hurts or offenses. I trust God in Him. And I know that life is challenging, but I also know that if we would just rest in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and celebrate not only today, but every day. Amen? That every day is Resurrection Sunday. That every day we can rest in the resurrection of Jesus. That He is our risen Savior. And that, as I prayed before, that He is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for His Father to tell Him to go get them. Praise God that we serve a risen Savior. During one of the worship songs, Abelsa leaned over to me and asked me if I was thinking about my sister Rhonda, who passed away. And I thought, I sure was. She, you know, just imagine her around the throne, worshiping God. And I don't think the calendar works the same way in heaven, but but to be with Jesus on Resurrection Sunday. Man, that's so good. Because that's where our faith is, our belief is. Sight unseen. And one day our faith will be made whole when we see Him face to face. And even though they saw firsthand the first account of Jesus working all these miracles, yet doubt and a hardening of their heart entered their hearts. Church, I think that we need to deal with that as well on a day-to-day practice. And just say, God, help my unbelief. Help me to believe that not only You died and You rose again, but help me to believe that You're working in my life right now. Help me to believe that no matter what I see with my natural eye, my eye of faith sees something different. Help me to see that no matter what I'm feeling internally, like I feel far from God or away from God or close to God or whatever your journey with Him looks like, yet I believe that You are within me. And greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Lord, I believe. When we live in that, I believe that it can change our whole outlook on life. We don't have to be complaining as often as we might. We don't have to be looking at all the grim things of life. We can look to a greater hope, a greater joy, a greater understanding that this is all temporary. None of this has an everlasting value in our life. That we are just traveling through, and one day we'll be with our Savior forever and ever. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together and pray and worship and thank God for His Resurrection Sunday and His life that He lives in us, and that we believe not only in the cornerstone of our faith, but we also believe in the day-to-day things that God would say to us, speak to us through His Word, that, Lord, I believe. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. I thank You, God, that You help us in our unbelief. Scripture even says, Lord, help my unbelief. And there might be times in our life, God, that we say, God, I see this greater than I see You, to be honest. But Lord, I believe. I believe in Your working power. I believe that You are Lord over this situation. I believe, God, that You have the last word. Lord, I pray that we would do a heart check this morning as well. That if we have become calloused or hard-hearted in any way, that, Lord, You would help us. Lord, we would even cry out to You and say, Lord, would You give me a childlike heart once again? That I would innocently and naively come before You and say, God, would You help me? Lord, I need help. Lord, would You give me guidance? Would You give me strength? Lord, I need You just as a child would run to their father or their mother. God, we run to You this morning and we say, God, would You help me today? Lord, I pray that You would remove doubt from our hearts. Lord, as James said, that if you have doubt and faith, you're a double-minded man. God, I pray that You would help us to just believe, just believe, just believe. That no matter what, God, we would believe in Your Word. We would believe You. And that, Lord, we would see You do great things in our lives. That we would enter rest from this stressful world that we live in. And all the time crunches and things that we're dealing with. God, would You help us? And Lord, I pray that as we worship You for a few minutes, that we would just express a heart of love and gratitude that You are the risen Savior, that You are Lord, and that You're coming back soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Ahead of us, we pray, Lord, that You would watch over us, protect us, draw us closer to You. Lord, I pray that this word would come to remembrance throughout the week. God, as we come into a time of fellowship, I pray Your blessing over the food. Bless our time of fellowship together as a family. And we thank You, Lord, for all that's been provided and Your goodness and Your love. In Jesus' name, amen.